Welcome back. My name is A.B. Ridgeway. I'm the host of Financial Advisor. Say the darndest things in my mom's favorite Christian financial advisor. And today we are answering some of your top money questions. It looks like there's a show called PTL where they go and they answer, once again, your money questions. And as a certified private wealth advisor professional with over a decade of experience, I'm going to see if this is good advice, if there's something else that you should know, or if this is complete baloney. Well, let's take a listen to the video.
Last month here on PTL, we asked you to send us your top money questions. Whether you're wondering about investing, spending, or budgeting, we want to know what kind of money is on your mind.
So in this month's Money Monday conversation, Bill Guadalupe, an area manager for Clearview Federal Credit Union, is here to answer your questions. We're so happy you're here. And we got a lot of really great questions, too. So we're going to start with a question about 401ks and retirement. So someone asked, I'm near retirement and I want additional investments to add to my portfolio that are reliable and worthwhile, but also short term. Do you have suggestions on saving certificates, money markets, or something else?
Yeah, so anything short term is considered like a year and under.
Yeah.
Money markets, certificates, saving certificates are a great option for that. So
okay.
Saving certificates are normally CDs, so people are familiar with that. So it's a fixed rate on a savings certificate for a fixed term. So very conservative, very easy to understand. Mm-hmm. You put in a certain amount of money, it comes out the other end with the interest added on. When you go into a money market, a little bit of difference because a money market is liquid. You can access it at any time.
It's not that fixed term where you're in for 5 years or a year.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the difference, again, between the two, one, you're kind of leaving it alone, and the other one, you're saying, well, I might have a need for this, so I'm going to go ahead and put it in a money market so I can access it.
One thing I would like to add is I want to ask the question to the person asking the question. I want to ask the question to the person asking the question is, what do you consider short term? As a financial advisor, it's my job to go a little bit deeper because the consumer's idea of what short term is may not be the same definition as a financial advisor. So what he did, he gave you the technical definition of short term. In our industry, anything that is 12 months or less is considered short term. Why is this? Because when we think about capital gains, they are taxed short-term capital gains, which is 12 months or less, and then long-term capital gains, which is preferential rates, is 12 months and a day. So this is the technical aspect of it. Now, for a consumer, short-term could be a couple years while you remodel your home for the next 3 years or whatever it may be. So I would ask this person, what do you consider short-term? And as a financial advisor, when we make recommendations for short-term investing, we always keep this in mind. The shorter the term, the shorter the obligation, the lower the rate. Meaning that if you have a CD that's for 3 months, it's not going to be a better interest rate than one that you have a CD for 6 months or for 12 months or for 3 years or 5 years, because the company is going to compensate you for the risk that you're taking. The longer that you hold a CD or what they call a certificate of deposit, that's what CD stands for, the higher the interest rate should be for you. The more you should get back for the longer they hold your money, because they're going to take your money and they're going to invest it and they're going to try to make some money off of it, right? And they just give you a percentage of that earning, all right? So when we're talking about short term, when you're trying to buy a home, we don't want that tied up in long-term investing. That means if you're preparing for a down payment on a home in 12 months or 24 months or something like that, you don't want to put that in an investment that you have tied up for 4 and 5 years. It's an unspoken rule that financial advisors follow is that the biggest mistake that investors make is putting long-term money in short-term vehicles and putting short-term money in long-term vehicles. So in this case, we will really want to know what short-term means to you. Does she mean year over year until she retires? Does she mean in 6 months, 3 months, 12 months?
All right, our next question. What's the difference between a home equity line of credit versus a home equity loan?
Okay, so the home equity line of credit is just that. A line of credit is opened and you can use it as you need it. So typically you have your home's value and then any money owed against that home, what's left is the equity. So you can borrow on that equity. So you open up a line and then you access it as you need it. So That will get you through the home equity part. Now with the other, which is the home loan, that goes against a fixed rate for a fixed term. Again, you're borrowing all the money at once. You're not having an open line of credit.
Yes, there is a distinct difference between a line of credit and a home equity loan. And it's a great example. One's in a lump sum. One is a line that you can access almost like a credit card. We see sometimes if we can compare rates, if you have a credit card that's 23% and you have some home equity and you can get a line for 9-10% or something like that, you may think about taking that home equity line, paying off your debts and saving the difference in those fees and just pay back your home equity line. Now, keep this in mind. There is a loan to equity amount that you can get out. Let's say you have a $500,000 house, you paid it down to $250,000. So technically you have $250,000 in equity available, but the bank is not going to give you the full amount. Typically they give you about 80% of your equity. So let's say you have $250,000 available, you can pretty much get a home equity line for about $200,000 to do whatever that you need to do. Now, once again, if you get the loan, you're going to get that up front, or it could just be a line that you have available that you could pay off some debt. Maybe have some credit card debt, $20,000-$30,000. You can actually take care of that. Now, once again, this is not financial advice. If you need help with your specific situation, there's a link in the description. You can schedule a consultation. We can go over your individual situation. We're just talking in general terms here. Please don't use these numbers to make financial decisions. The disclosures are everywhere on my website. If you need help, seek professional help, financial advisors, tax accountants, things of that nature. Hopefully a financial advisor like me, but let's keep going.
And are those rates pretty comparable to what you would get on a mortgage? Are they a little bit more, a little bit less? I mean, obviously shop around for that, but.
Yeah, for the home equity lines of credit, they're normally tied to an index like Prime. So yeah, there can be some fluctuation there.
Okay.
But generally speaking, they're as competitive as a mortgage would be.
Okay, so we have another question. I'm in my 20s and I want to start investing. What's the best way to get long-term value? And I think this can be really intimidating if you aren't working for a company that has a jump right into a 401k plan.
Yeah.
A lot of people want to know how they can get started.
Yeah, so everybody's situation is going to be, you know, customized to them. So you'll want to get into, if your company does have a 401k, that's the first thing you want to get into first. You want to, because they're matching, right?
Right.
So that's an instant savings where if they're matching at 5%, for example, you're putting in 5%, there's an automatic 10% savings there.
Let me add a little bit of caveat. I think the statistic says about 75% of companies that have 401ks do not match. So make sure that you are looking at your company benefits and see if they do match. So a lot of people, they contribute the 5, 10, 15% of their income into the 401k because everyone says that's what you should do, but their company is not matching. So they're not getting that benefit. If you want to increase your capacity for adding to tax deferred accounts, yes, your 401k is going to be your best option, but you may want to consider an individual retirement account and you can make the contributions there, especially if your company is not matching. Now, if you do, once again, you want to contribute more than the contribution limits for any given year, then look towards your 401k if it's available.
That early on in their 20s, I would definitely congratulate them for being that aware at that time.
Right.
Right.
But consulting a financial advisor in that case would be absolutely essential.
Yeah. I didn't mean to pause it again, but yeah, seeking a financial advisor is going to be crucial because we really don't know his financial situation. He could be a multimillionaire. You know, we don't know his situation, or he could be working a 9-to-5. So we don't know if he needs to get into a retirement account. We don't know if he needs to open up a brokerage account, or he may be in a situation where he needs to just open up a savings account and increase his emergency fund. We see that all the time that Americans are not saving and they don't have money for emergencies. So when a tire goes out or their windshield breaks or they need a oil change or something happens around the house, they don't have this 6 to 9 months of emergency, especially if they lose their job. I just did a story where a girl lost her job. So she pulled out of her 401k. So now she has all this tax implication because she did not contribute to an emergency fund, which is really just 6 to 9 months, as I said before, of your monthly expenses, just in case something happens. But yes, you should seek the help of a financial advisor that can go over your specific situation and help you through.
Because there's a long road ahead and there's a lot of options. So.
Right. And it's never too early to start. You know?
Yeah.
It's great. So we have one more question to get to. We also had a few questions about debt management. So this person said, my fiance and I are responsible and savvy with our money. We can't seem to escape the looming feeling we get from our outstanding debts between auto loans, student loans, a mortgage. There's a lot going on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So managing debt is tricky, right? Because you need a certain amount of debt. Especially early on, houses, cars, student loans, et cetera. So one method is called an avalanche method. That's where you go after the debt that has the highest interest. So you line up all your debt, you take a look. This one's the costing us the most. We're gonna go put our plan together and go after that. The other one's called a snowball, where you go after the balance first.
Got it.
So you can typically have, you could have a balance, a high balance but a low rate, and then you could also have a low balance with a high rate. So which way do you go? It really is going to depend on what's your strategy.
And I know what he was saying. He's trying to explain the snowball and the avalanche technique without going into too much detail, because they are pretty complex as far as what do you pay. How do you take the remaining balance, the minimum payment that you need to pay, and then putting all extra money into this card and then transferring it after this card is complete? There's a whole strategy behind it. And that's why he's stuttering. Some may take his stuttering as he doesn't know or he doesn't sound very educated, but that may be far from the case. When you're in these type of situations, especially in the financial industry, it's very hard to just articulate certain strategies that are going to work. I know you're used to financial advisors say the darndest things, and it sounds like I have it on the tip of my head, only because I'm talking about a specific situation. So I'm taking these variables and I'm giving you an answer. He is trying to generalize it in such a way where he's trying to explain it in a short amount of time, and you can't explain the snowball versus the avalanche technique in 15 seconds or something like that. And he's trying to choose the words that are going to truly tell you what it is without going into too many details. So it's not that he's slow or he doesn't know what he's talking about or he's stuttering. He just has so much information. He just doesn't know exactly what to say. But, you know, that's why I'm here.
Honestly, like I remember this feeling too. And you get out on the other side. As long as you're staying on top of it, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. As long as you're not adding to that debt in some massive way, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. So feel good about that as long as you're staying on top of your payments.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's a pretty good video about debt investing and some solid questions. And I know a lot of you out there may have similar questions. Things are on your mind that you're trying to figure out in the financial world. And you're like, well, I don't want to talk about that. It just seems like a stupid question. Or, you know, I don't know if I can even find an answer. Most likely you can. You just want to speak to a financial advisor. You can sign up for a free consultation. I have a link in the description that you can go to. But in these situations, some things you just need to talk out. Like, hey, you know, what do you think about this? Right? It's not about financial guidance, just speaking in general terms to kind of point you in the right direction. But if you really are looking for a financial advisor, we talk about the financial five, your financial advisor, your accountant, your lawyer, your power of attorney, and your executor. You need all these people in your corner to help support you in times like this. When you have a question, you can run to your financial advisor. If you have a legal question, what do? You run to your lawyer. If you have a tax question, what do? You run to your accountant. So you have these people in your corner building relationships. So when you do have questions, they're right there for you. Well, if you don't know anything, I mean anything about investing, and all this kind of sounds like jargon to you, but you want to learn more, you already took the first step by watching me on Financial Advisors Say the Darndest Thing. Now take the next step and you can download our Four Pillars to Christian Investing 19-page retirement guide that goes over debt management, like the snowball technique and the avalanche technique. It goes over debt management, investing, and well, transfers. So you could download that. You can go to Amazon. You could pay me if you want to, or you can just go on the link and get it for free. It's going to appear in your first email. So now you can talk intelligently about things that you may not have thought about. Well, that is it for me. If you're not subscribed, make sure that you do and watch another one of these videos. It really helps us out. We'd love to join you on the family, and you can stay tuned for more great videos like this. Well, my name is AB Ridgeway, and I'll see you on the other side of your blessing.